What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of She, Her, They with Kittens. I'm Kittens, and today I've got my friend Shelby Belfast Jones on with me. Shelby's a professional strength coach, which means she professionally trains pro-level elite athletes. I'm talking Olympians, NFL, NHL, like pro MMA, Muay Thai fighters. Like, she helps them be their best self. So she's extremely well-versed in what the human body can do. Like, she's super strong herself. If you see her, I'm going to post a picture because she is absolutely ripped and it's incredible. And not only that, she is extremely, extremely well-versed in things around hormones and just general health and body optimization. Like, she's who I call when I'm like, should I take this vitamin? Or like, my doctor wants me to start this medicine. Am I going to be okay? Like, she's who I call. She trains people of all genders and is very, very well aware of the constraints and parameters that come with competing in sports. So in today's episode, Shelby is going to basically debunk the whole myth around it being unfair for trans women to compete in sports with cis women, because it's not an issue. And there's all kinds of explanations for it. And I know a lot of people are just confused and they don't know any better and they fall for the fear mongering and random shit they see on social media or like the news. That's just people making a big deal out of nothing. So we're going to get into that. And then hopefully by the end of this, you will be more educated and you can share that information with other people. So we can just enjoy sports and allow trans people to have fun and respect them for even caring to work out. Cause like, I'm not doing that. So you know what I mean? Before we get started though, please make sure you like, subscribe, follow all the things here, click all the buttons, find me on Instagram at IamKittens or at SheHerThey. And yeah, that's about it. All right, let's get into today's episode. Hi, thank you so much for doing this. I'm so psyched to have you.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me on. I'm really excited.
Yeah. Can you go ahead and introduce yourself for everyone, your name, pronouns, how you identify in any way, and what you do as a profession?
Sure. So my name is Shelby Belfast Jones, Shelby Belfast, pretty much anywhere you're going to try to find me. I am she, her, and I have been a strength coach for almost 16 years now, working with any person within the population, but with a large focus on professional athletes.
Awesome. So honestly, yeah, it's so cool. Ever since I've known you, just your strength and how you present yourself is just so inspiring to me. And I think we don't see as many people, let alone women, in that world, like, represented properly.
I agree. And thank you for that.
Yeah. We got a lot of men, and we also have a lot of like fit girly, fit inspo stuff that's promoting very unhealthy lifestyles. And your focus has always been on overall health and like body optimization versus like how to look cute in a bikini.
Yeah. So my argument is always to anybody who asks is there's really, there's no downside to being stronger. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of downsides to just focusing on thinness or things of that nature. So yeah, that's why I became a strength coach.
It's so, I mean, nobody can like see all, like, I'm going to just put some pictures of you in here. Cause you're just like fucking jacked. Like,
in my world, I feel like I'm like, I'm okay. But I think also my world is very skewed because I'm around, I get to be around other women who are also incredibly strong. My mentor, Laura, and a lot of those women. There was a woman who's a friend of mine who I think 2 weeks ago, just set the new world record for squat.
Oh, wow.
And she's a 34-year-old woman and she squatted 950 pounds.
Okay.
So, I mean, we're out here. We're doing it. It's just, Yeah.
No, it's so awesome. And I mean, why I really wanted to have you on today was because we've talked about this stuff a few times, and anytime there's like health related stuff or like athletic anything, I always am like, Shelby, what do you think about this? Cause I know you know, and you're very, very educated on not only strength coaching, but just general like health, just body wellness in a real, real way, not a like Gwyneth Paltrow eat fucking bone broth way. So,
well, thank you. God, yeah. I hope not.
But one thing I think we've been seeing in the news quite often for a long time, but way more now with all of these awful bills that all these different states are trying to pass, is the argument around trans women and sports and their involvement in sports. Mm-hmm. And it is such a complicated but not complicated thing that I think a lot of people don't understand.
Right.
And I think there's so much incorrect information out there and fear-mongering. So people that are even progressive in every other way and so supportive of minority groups in every other way, they're like, well, yeah, I guess that's not fair. Like, I don't think trans women should be able to whatever, because they just don't, they don't know. They're getting the wrong information. So I think, you know, there's a lot of layers to this. So I would love if you could kind of debunk, bullet pointed, and then, you know, break it down, but debunk why it's not an issue for trans women to compete in sports with cis women.
Sure. So before I launch into my feelings about this, and I want to attack this from several facets, because I don't think, it's not even that I don't think, this is not a simple issue of fairness, which is stupid in and of itself, and I'll get to that. But there's a lot of layers to this. But before I do that, I want to give a shout out to Skylar Baylor, also known as Pink Manta Ray on Instagram. Skylar is a trans man. He was the first transgender athlete to compete in the NCAA in Division I swimming. He's been kind of at the forefront of talking about this subject matter. He recently had a woman named Joanna Harper on, who is a, she is a doctoral candidate, almost Dr. Joanna Harper. She is a trans woman. She has been running a lot of research on exactly, she is also an athlete herself, and she has been running a lot of research on the minutia of what being a trans woman is and how that could possibly differentiate from being a cis woman and what the stipulations are for trans athletes. And a lot of the information that I have, I am a cis woman, but a lot of the information that I have comes from trans women in my life, trans athletes that I have listened to. The information is out there. I would encourage anyone who hears this to also go a step further, seek out Skylar, look at his page. He has his own podcast where he talks about this stuff. He is also a speaker you can hire to come and speak in front of classrooms if you happen to be a teacher listening. But please, don't stop with me. I know some things. There are still people out there smarter than me. So that's my little caveat, is that I know some things and I have some very strong opinions, but there are definitely people out there who know even more than I do, that I would love and encourage anybody listening to go farther with this and keep learning, because the more you know, the less bullshit you are susceptible to believe.
Awesome.
Okay, so the big question, I think, before we go into it, we need to delineate when we're talking about trans athletes. Are we talking about elite level athletes or like prepubescent athletes? And I want to say this outright. If we're talking about non-elite level, high school and under athletes, should they be allowed to compete with each other? Unequivocally, yes. Why the fuck does anybody care? Let kids play with kids. Let trans kids play. Let trans girls play with other girls. I don't even know why that's on the books of a discussion. That shouldn't even be something we're talking about. That should just exist. And I don't want to get into the minutia of why someone would have a problem with that, because I feel like that is so, such a separate discussion and something that is so stupid that it boils down to, most of this boils down to transphobia, homophobia, and misogyny. But that at the highest level boils down to that. There's literally no reason why, if someone's not competing for an elite level trophy, anybody should give the least bit of a shit. You've never cared about what anyone's hormones look like before. Now, why would you care?
Right.
At a young level, why would you care? You've never cared about it until now. It is prepackaged transphobia and misogyny at its root.
I feel like it's so interesting too, because almost all of these discussions that I hear and all these like points and people just fear mongering, they're almost 99.9% leaving out trans men from the discussion.
Oh, yes.
It's like they forget trans men exist. And yeah. So it's like, so do you want trans men that are like taking testosterone and all that to be competing against your little daughters in high school? Like, is that what your logic is here?
They haven't forgotten about them. So I think the other big thing that we need to kind of acknowledge is that the reason, if we are to have discussions about the allowance of trans athletes, which seems foolish since the NCAA and the Olympics have been having these discussions for over 15 years, and by and large have come to a determination of exactly, yes, and this is how. Do I think there should be rules in place for athletes? Yes, but not to exclude. Those rules should exist to definitively include, right? Mm-hmm. If you set the goalposts here, and for the longest time, the goalposts have been for any athlete, it has been compete, show that your hormone levels are within these parameters. If you are a trans woman, please have been on hormone therapy for, depending on the organization, it's 1 to 3 years, but we know that hormones fall to normal levels under testosterone suppression within a year. So I'm good with a year, like whatever. You have a 12% decrease in athletic output after 1 year of hormone therapy.
12% decrease after being on hormones for a year.
Yeah. Wow. So there's very limited research, but that is one study that came out and showed. And here's the other thing. And this is an uncomfortable thing for me to say as a woman, but there is a reason why we have categorizations within athletics to provide platforms for meaningful and equitable and egalitarian competition, right? Mm-hmm. There is a reason why in weightlifting competitions, you have weight categories.
Right.
Because someone who weighs 100 pounds isn't going to move the same amount of weight as someone who weighs 265 pounds.
Right. And that makes complete
sense. That's just a fact.
That stuff just makes sense.
Right. So the influence of testosterone on a human body at a certain level, there are going to be people who hear this that don't know this. Every woman alive has testosterone in their body. We just have a much lower natural amount of it than a cis male does, or than an intersexed person does. And that's a whole other category that we can talk about. But so the effect of testosterone at those levels is realistically that, yes, you have the ability to build more muscle. You have the ability to build more bone density. The most immediate thing that you just get with the assignment without doing anything for it is an increase in hemoglobin production. Okay. After a year of being on a hormone suppressant, it's all off the table. All of it. You're taken to zero and you don't get any of that stuff. So I understand the categorization of wanting to have competition files for men and women. What I do not understand and will never understand as to why those categorizations exclude trans women, or they're trying to. Well, mm-hmm. I understand why, but it has nothing to do with sport or fairness. Nothing.
Yeah.
And why they're ignoring trans men. So the reality is that trans women bother people. And the reason they bother people and people are so focused on them is from two aspects. One, and it's all misogyny and, right. and homophobia. And, you know, that's all it is. It's the people who say, well, we want to make women's sports equitable for other women. And I go, no, you don't, because where were you? You know, if that's true, there are so many other things that you could be fighting for to make sports more equitable for women. Dying on the hill of trying to exclude trans women and girls is not the hill you need to be on if you actually give a shit about women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You need to be fighting for equitable pay for female athletes. you need to be fighting for checks and accountability for female athletes who are sexually assaulted. Look at the Larry Nassar, you know, fiasco with all of the gymnasts. Those are the things you should be fighting for. You want to protect women, protect women. Trans women, what percentage, if we're talking about the percentage of athletes from like a high school that go into NCAA level or elite level competition, do you know what the percentage is of people? It's like 2%.
Oh, wow.
Now, what percentage of the population is trans?
So it's like
1%?
Yeah. So 1% of the 2%. And then of that percentage, how many are actually getting to that elite level of athleticism?
Right.
If so.
And then
they're still having to compete and there's still all these other things in place.
Yes. So if the argument is, I want to make sports fair for women, what a pathetic effort, right? Even if trans women were so unfair, and they were just running rampant trying to take over sport or unfairly or some ridiculous nonsense. Mm-hmm. This would still be such an epic waste of your time if you actually cared about the fairness within women's sports. Yeah. This is not the fight to have, okay? Now, the other thing to talk about is, I think that it's important to talk about exactly what you pointed out, which is, why do people focus on trans women and not trans men? And the simple answer to that is pure unadulterated misogyny. The reason they focus on trans women is because inherently people believe that any man, cis man, air quotes, because trans women are women full stop. Any person assigned male at birth could wander into a sport at any given time and just own every woman within that sport.
Right.
That is misogyny at its finest. Mm-hmm. I would love for you to show me a single male tennis player who at his very best could have owned Serena Williams on a court. Right? It throws skill, study, and time out the window. And that's offensive. Mm-hmm. The inverse of that is, the reason they ignore trans men is they go, well, you're just a girl trying to play on the boys' team.
Right. So we're not even going to take
you
seriously.
And they invalidate them. Correct.
Right.
And that is also misogyny.
Right.
Trans women are women. And by all intents and purposes, via the established protocols that have been set in place by the NCAA, by the Olympics, different federations and organizations have different parameters. But if we're to talk about the two largest governing bodies who have talked about elite level sport requirements, they're women. There is no arguing that from a biological level, they are women. Their hormones fall within the standards. They don't have the idea of, well, their bones and their muscles grew before they got on hormone therapy, so they have an edge. So this is where I go into my rant about sports being fair. Mm-hmm. I love when people want to talk about about sports being fair, and we want sports to be fair. This is, I think, where my 15 years of doing this, I have an opinion, a strong one about this, because I've trained a lot of athletes in my time across a whole lot of sports. We're talking NFL, NHL, MLB. I've had a couple of Olympic athletes. I've had a lot of professional fighters. The only people I've not had are NBA or rugby. Shout out if any rugby players want to get at me, especially female rugby players, holy shit, that's my dream. But I have trained a lot of athletes, and the reality is that, I'm here to tell you that sports aren't fair. And we don't want them to be fair, actually. If we were so hardwired to argue about the fairness of sports, then the gate kept height for the NBA wouldn't be 6'2 and up, right? And I'm sure somebody's going to watch this and go, but what about Muggsy Bogues? And I would say, well, Muggsy hasn't Muggsy played, what, 30 years ago? You know, should back when something like that, back when contracts were a fraction of what they are now. Mm-hmm. Show me an NBA player that's been shorter than 6'2" in the last however long. Mm-hmm. That's the requirement. And that isn't fair.
Right.
Right. Michael Phelps dominated the Olympics and we all loved to watch him do it. Right. The man has 1.5 times the lung capacity of a normal human and only produces 50% of the lactic acid of a normal human.
What does lactic acid do?
Lactic acid is literally when you say you're running or you're holding a particular strength thing and you feel your muscles start to burn, mm-hmm. right? He produces 50% less. So he can do different movements or different things. He can swim for longer before any of that burn starts. Yes. Both on a respiratory level and on a lactic acid level. Like he's literally built to do that sport, like innately built.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't fair. He has a genetic benefit walking mm-hmm. into the sport that he is competing in that makes him better equipped to compete than everybody else.
Oh.
And nobody says anything about it because they're like, well, but he was, you know, that seems fine.
It's not a problem then. Yeah. It's not a problem.
Or I think the other argument is, well, he was born with it. So, and I go, okay, Tiger Woods had surgery to make his vision better than perfect.
You can do that?
Yes, you can. And he did it. And how do we think that affected his golf game?
Yeah. What the fuck? I didn't even know that was possible. Wow.
The number one differentiator between success of an athlete and non-success, do you know what the actual barrier is across the board? They've done studies where they're like, okay, well, let's look at race. Let's look at age. Let's look at gender. Let's look at where this person grew up. Let's look at this. You know what the thing that created the greatest chasm between success and opportunity and failure for an athlete was? Money. Yeah. Money. So if you're gonna scream about fairness, then are you donating to the kids in your neighborhood mm-hmm. who don't have all the money? Because, and let me tell you, it matters at a young age because availability yeah. of food, availability of opportunity with coaches, availability with trainers, those things make a difference in the long run.
Right. No, so
but no, we're gonna focus on 1% of the 2%. Of elite level athletes. So it's not about fairness.
Yeah.
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 It is strictly about homophobia and misogyny. When it comes to women feeling like, well, but it's my sport and I don't want to feel like I'm being, I want fair competition or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, I implore you to look up Joanna Harper and look at some of the studies that she has done and really think about what is necessary within a sport to become competitive. The idea that you're assigning value to assigned male at birth traits is deeply rooted in internalized misogyny.
Hmm.
And if you think it's not, I have news for you. You don't know as much about the way the human body works. You're not an endocrinologist. You don't have the history or understanding of how the body works. And understanding the background of how those things function, you really get a picture of like, there's not enough here to create enough of an advantage for it to be
notable.
You know,
yeah.
Right. You know, one woman that comes up frequently when people are talking about this is Caster Semenya, right? Caster Semenya is
a runner, right? Was she a
yes.
runner?
Yeah. Yes. And I think it's really important when you talk about Caster to say that Caster is not trans. She is intersex. She identifies as a woman. She is queer and she is Black from South Africa. And all of that is incredibly important to talk about mm-hmm. when we begin to talk about how Caster's been treated. How she's been policed, because the policing of women's bodies is tale as old as time. And when it comes to women of color and queer women of color, it is even worse. Mm-hmm. So Castor was found to have a higher than normal testosterone production. And she was born like that, right? She didn't do anything to do that. That's just how she's born. Right. And she likes her own body the way it is. Now, the interesting thing with Castor is if we're talking about fair, equal, meaningful competition, and I'm going to go about this two ways. So stick with me. Whoever ends up listening to this, don't get mad right away, because I'm going to say one thing. I think that asking Castor to submit to testosterone suppression in order to compete within the parameters of mm-hmm. the Olympics is a fair request. However, I think asking a person born in a state that they are born in to effectively suppress their hormones in order to compete on a human rights level mm-hmm. is not great. And Joanna Harper made that point first time. And the first time I heard it, I was like, that is it. Mm-hmm. It is one thing on a sports fairness level to be like, yes, we all should be probably within these parameters.
Right.
And from a human rights perspective, asking a woman to suppress her hormones, and Castor doesn't like the way she feels. She's tried it and she does not like it.
Yeah.
Has some pretty wibbly human rights connotations there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have the answer to that particular question, but I also think that with the extreme rarity of intersexed athletes out there, and people like Castor, I think there are much smarter people that could answer that question, that are not me. Mm-hmm. From a gut space, what I will tell you is I believe, and from what I have seen, that we watch sports to see amazing things happen. And the goal in so many of us is to go, I just want to see, you know, when you watch birds flying, there is a part of you as a human that goes, I'm watching this creature that was built to do this. And it's so amazing because it's so separate from me and so elegant by design and so beautiful in its ability to just exist in this space that it was meant to exist in.
Mm.
And in some ways, our perception of athletics is very much the same. The reason we loved watching Michael Phelps swim, despite all of this genetic benefit and all of this, like, yes, of course he's going to win. You know, his
Which
arms
they
are,
didn't ask him to suppress or like, you know, wear something they didn't inject up.
Of course. Yeah. Right. Nothing had to be changed in Michael. And again, it would have been a total human rights violation to do that. But in reality, I think we all watch going, wow, this is a person who is born to do this. Mm-hmm. And when I watch Castor Semenya run, that is how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I look at her run and I go, we spend all of this time wanting to witness the best, you know, the best. We want to see someone do something beautiful and successful and, you know, witness the bird in flight, so to speak. And that's Castor when she runs. Mm-hmm. And getting pissed off and ground up by the minutia of what her hormones look like, to me, is a waste of any of our 1 to 100 years that we get on this planet. And part of me says, fucking lighten up and watch something beautiful happen. You know,
yeah.
We don't watch sports because we want to see fair shit shake down. And that's just, it's fucking true. We don't. We watch sports because we want to see crazy shit. We want to see dominance. We want to see crazy right. shit happen. We want to see something incredible. We want to, you know, we want to see a pole vaulter launch themselves, you know, 20 feet over a pole or what. I don't know the measurements of pole vaulting, but do you know what I'm saying? Like, we want to see these, like, what? Incredible like these things that
yeah.
we can't possibly imagine ourselves doing that seems so. And we want to see someone do it with a degree of ease that mm-hmm. makes it seem that much more incredible. So when I am not a particularly religious person, but when we are gifted something from the universe, something like a person like Castor or like Michael Phelps,
mm-hmm.
I think we should take the gift. It is a rare one and leave it alone. And in the case of trans women, I think what we should see is a person who is not given the gift and instead is given a huge mountain to climb and celebrate the fact that they are willing to jump through those hoops and train really hard. It's like people forget that becoming an elite level athlete is the gnarliest thing in the world. This isn't, these athletes don't like show up on game day like, hey, you know, so glad I showed up for training three times last week. It is a 6 to 8 hour a day training schedule for 6 days a week most of the time. Wow. It's grueling. It's a whole life. Like, these people don't make contracts because of what they do on a performance day. They make their contracts because of what they do for the rest of the year before that day.
Right.
And when you consider trans athletes, the other thing you have to consider is the mental health aspect of it, right? Mm. On top of everything else, on top of all of the hoops that trans women have to jump through in terms of hormones, in terms of, okay, I'm going to get tested again. I have to do this. I have to. There is also the aspect of camaraderie and the aspect of mental health. I believe her name is Laurel Hubbard. She was an Olympic competitor, a trans woman who competed in the Olympics. Her performance was very hard to watch because it was very clear that the transphobia that she endured affected her performance. Very, very, very clear. And you can have any athlete who shows up on the day of and has some intense emotional thing happen. For trans women, it is every day of their life leading up to that moment, mm-hmm. right? And now we want to say, on top of all of that, despite all of these insurmountable, you know, obstacles that we've established for you to sort of crawl over and jump over or whatever to get here, we're really not sure that you should be here anyways. And I just feel like, what the fuck is the point of sports at that point?
Yeah.
You know? And that would be my question to anybody who still has problems with it is, what the actual fuck do you think sports are for? Are they so that you can pat yourself on the back in an act of tribalism and feel like you belong to something? If that's the case, what the fuck do you want to belong to? And I'm not talking to, you know, the red hat Trump supporters who probably don't listen to this podcast anyway, but I'm not speaking to them, because the simple reality is that you can't change those people. Those minds are not flexible. Right. And they're not there they're not countering trans athlete presence because they want to establish fairness for any reason. They just hate trans people.
Yeah.
Right. They just hate trans people. I am more interested in speaking to anybody who's maybe on the fence because they don't actually understand the minutiae of what goes into becoming an athlete. They don't understand the minutiae of what goes into the testing requirements for an athlete at the elite level. They don't understand the pressures that an athlete who is cis, who has had a relatively flexible, easy time, you know, financially getting to where they've gotten to, it is an incredibly strict and tight existence. And then you add in the aspect of being trans, navigating life as a trans person. And I go, by the time that person arrives, by the time that woman arrives on the stage or on the court or on the field, none of us should give a fuck other than the fact that holy shit, she made it.
Yeah.
And if you are at all a feminist, an inclusive feminist, that alone should be the most inspiring shit to you, you know, because fuck, we have it impossibly hard already just as women. And then you add in trans women who are just fucking punching down every wall that you can imagine to get to that point. What the fuck are sports for if not to inspire us by seeing a person just tuck their head down against some level of adversity and just say, fuck it, and run right at it. And if that's not why you watch sports, if you watch sports because you want to be some couch commentator and be like, I could do that. If you watch sports because you want to talk shit on people, do something else. Do something else with your fucking life. Like, it's too limited. Go be inspired by athletes. That's literally, that is what that's there for. And there is so much to love and be inspired by if you get out of your own fucking way and stop trying to draw stipulations. You know, the other thing is not to ruin everyone's fucking day, but like 90% of the pro athletes out there that you're ever going to run into anyway are on their own level of supportive supplements, shall we say, outside of competition. And I have my own opinions about that too. And frankly, my opinions are, I don't give a fuck about that either. Mm-hmm. Because I know what they have to go through in training, and it's unrealistic. We've gotten to a point where we want to see something so crazy mm-hmm. that our own expectations of people are so outside the realm of normal. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's a great documentary called Icarus that talks about what would we be looking at in the Tour de France if we took down all of the blood doping? And it's like, we'd be looking at the 60th guy in line down. The mm-hmm. top 60 would be out of the race if we actually gave a shit about blood doping. Strong woman competitions are largely unregulated. And most of the women who compete at strong man too, most of the people who compete in those competitions are on loads of drugs. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit because I'm like, it's your body. You do what you want. It's an unregulated sport. But I'll tell you, man, it's fucking cool. It's cool to see somebody pick up 300 pounds 42 times in a row.
God.
And that's happened, you know? And if that's what you want to do, do it. But our perception of what sports are for is very skewed. Mm-hmm. We do not own athletes that we watch. They do not exist for us. And I think that we need to move it back to a place of appreciation and recognizing that fair and meaningful competition is important, but the parameters for trans women to compete have been in place. They've been there, and trans women are here. They're around and they're doing sports, and largely you don't hear about it because they're not winning and dominating. The reason it's a hot button topic right now is because of Leah Thompson, who, you know, went from 38th place to first and now is like an NCAA swimming champion. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants to talk about it because they're like, oh, fuck, it's because she's trans. It's because she's fucking a good athlete, man. Like, that's plain and goddamn simple. Like, you know? So, yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's the first part of my rant.
I mean, I don't think anyone will have a fucking question after this. I hope they just send this around to anyone who's like, I don't know about that, because, wow.
Fuck. I mean, I would invite the self, you know, interrogate yourself is what I tell people. You know, the number one thing I like to tell people, and they go, well, it's because of the fairness, and I go, sports aren't fair. Next question. They're not. Not fair.
I really never understood that part. I'm like, it's the whole point is it's not fair. Some people are just better at shit, or some people just have more money and time to practice and train and be like, you know.
Yep.
When did we ever think that sports were fair?
The reality is that that's not actually the concern, right?
Yeah.
And it's fun to strip that veneer away real fast, because then you go, stop concern trolling the subject matter. When people are like, well, I care about women. It's like, do you?
No, you fucking don't. Yeah.
There are so many other things you could go spend your time defending when it comes to women in sports. And it's not this.
There are genuine, obvious threats that are genuine issues that they can do something about right now, but they don't.
Exactly. You know, the attack on trans women is because you don't like women that don't exist in the image that makes you feel satisfied. It threatens your idea of how a woman should exist. And the aspect that I know a little bit about that is being a strength coach and existing as in a body that is much more muscular than I used to be. Mm-hmm. And the shift in attention that I've received, back when I was very thin and when I was modeling, there was a lot of very sort of, a lot of attention that I got was from men. And a lot of that attention came sort of as like a kind of a pleasant, like, oh, you're allowed to be here. Like, oh, you're so cute. Oh, haha. Like, whatever. Right. The minute that I started to get stronger and become visibly stronger, right? Mm-hmm. Get to the point where now it's like, you know, I meet people and they go, what do you do? And I go, I'm a strength coach. And they go, yeah, I figured. I was going to ask what sport you played. Yeah. And I'm still, you know, after 10 years of doing of heavy lifting, I'm still adjusting to that idea because my brain is still like in this other body. But the attention has really been the shift, and the attention has gotten to, it's a lot of aggression and hatred. And it's simply because I don't exist in this palatable, digestible form for misogynistic people anymore.
Yeah, you're not doing femininity right. You're not doing
it. I directly threaten it because of that fact. And I believe that there is an aspect of that in why people are so pissed off at trans women. Mm-hmm. Like, well, that girl isn't the way I want her to do girlhood.
Right.
And that makes me mad. And it's, you know, it all comes from kind of the same root. It's all misogyny. Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah. God. Now that was something else I wanted to talk to you about, because it's so interesting. You're like, whenever you post older pictures and you were like teeny tiny little baby, like pinup-y model with the corsets and the heels.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So, you know,
teeny tiny. The fraction of time that I was a pro model back when I was like 18, 19. And I haven't posted pictures from that in a long time, because that shit makes me sad. I was about 122 pounds. And I'm 5'10". And I was deeply unwell, deeply unwell. And the pictures that I do post are of me at about 135 pounds. So I had already gone up in weight.
Oh God, you're even smaller. Holy shit.
Oh yeah. And at 135, I had worked my way out of pro modeling potential and instead gone into alt modeling, where I was like, you know, back in the day posing for Inked and Skin 2 and whatever. Mm-hmm. And since then, I was in my early 20s when I sought out boxing, and it was sort of a give me something to hold on to kind of a move. It was really a desperation move. I was not fully out of unhealthy habits until that point, because I had not rewritten my own relationship with my body to be one of what can we do together as like a cooperative sort of like thing. And instead it was, I need you to do this for me so that people can perceive me this way.
Right.
It was a punishment for the sake of existing within society in a way that I thought would earn me enough social clout and currency.
Right.
And for the record, I think a lot of women do that, and I do not begrudge women for doing that. It makes me sad. But that is the byproduct of patriarchy, yeah, largely. You know, we're all trying to compete for resources, because at the end of the day, we're just not fucking given any. So,
Do whatever you got to do. But
yeah. And when I found a boxing gym and I trained in boxing and I competed in boxing, and that was when I started realizing, you know, if you want to show up to training, you're going to have to fucking eat food. You know,
shocker.
Yeah, you know what? Turns out you can't actually box on a Diet Coke and a cigarette. So you're going to have to eat some fucking food. And I had to come to grips with, like, I had to rewrite how I perceived how I took care of myself. Mm-hmm. And I started eating, and I started sleeping, and I started paying attention to how I felt. Not how do I feel based on reactions to me? More like, in a vacuum, how the fuck do I actually feel right now? Mm-hmm. And the relationship that I developed with my body out of that and ongoing became one of deep appreciation and collaboration and care and love. I got real sad one day, years into therapy and working on all this, when I was a few years into lifting, and I was talking to my therapist, and I realized that I had begrudged a lot of years of what my body could do, because I just wanted it to look a certain way, or I wanted it to fit into a certain size or whatever. And there are so many people who don't have the ability to do the things that my body will do, and how consistently it showed up for me. Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that I was like, meh, kind of punishing it. And it made me really sad, because I was like, there's so much that I can do with this little, you know, meet spaceship that I haven't done. And, you know, and I started kind of wanting to figure out what else I could do and get as deep as I could into identifying what I felt like and what I wanted from myself and, how I could grow that feeling of care. And also, I keep using this word, but it's really the one that fits the best, collaboration, where it's like my mind, body, and soul are kind of all working together on the same plane of like, okay, what do we want to do? Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, let's all facilitate each other to do that thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And so I weigh, not that weight matters, but for the sake of conversation, I like to bring it up now. Weight was always a really sensitive subject for me, but I bring it up now only because I want to dispel the idea that weight is a big deal. I weigh about 165 to 170 pounds now. Mm-hmm. And I put on a significant amount of size and muscle, specifically in my legs and in my shoulders, compared to what I used to look like. And it's cool. It's fucking cool taking up space.
That. Wow. Yeah. That. Honestly, like your legs, I'm like, you could crack so many skulls. Like,
they're very large. It's so also, there's a genetic component. Like, I work them out, but it's also just one of those things that when I actually started doing anything physical, my legs were like, sick, here we go. And like, they just blew up. And it's, some of it's just a genetic thing. They're not as strong as they look, I think, but yeah, they got big quick.
That's tight. You look like you like comic book character, like perfect comic book character form. Like, just like strength and beautiful.
Thank you. And I think getting to a point where I also could be like, and it's the thing that I want for all of the women that I coach to feel is, regardless of whatever you want with your body, the thing that I want to give to people that I work with is a sense of belonging and collaboration and pride with anything that they're able to accomplish, right? I can promise you there's so much more that you can do that you haven't been told you can do. I think that's actually the thing that I love the absolute fucking most about trans women and trans athletes. The trans women in my life stand as beacons of hope for what women are told we are not allowed to accomplish and can. And for them, I look at them and I go, oh my God, for all of the, everything, every barrier you've had to break through, it reminds me that we can, if we just try harder, push harder, keep going. The incredible fortitude of trans women is fucking unbelievable. And if that's anything that I've learned from the trans women in my life and the trans women I look up to, and anything that I can carry into my coaching and what I give to people, it would be that.
That's beautiful. I was like, so I'm like getting all like choked up goosebumps over here. That was honestly, yeah, I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. Well, shit, I guess
got it all.
Yeah, I'm like, that's a perfect note to wrap things up on. Honestly, so inspiring. And thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and expertise. And then who were the people that you said to check out? There was a couple. Yes.
Skylar Baylor is Pink Manta Ray on Instagram. He's wonderful. He also has a podcast where he talks a lot about just his experience as a transgender man, about his coming out. He is also not white, so there's the intersectionality of that, of being an athlete. And he had a doctor, I'm going to go ahead and say doctor because she's a doctoral candidate, but we all know she's going there.
And I'll tag all of these people with their handles and whatnot below. So
perfect. Dr. Joanna Harper. I actually don't know what her handle is. I just listened to her, some of her, her lectures and so on, and her appearance on Skylar's podcast. And she is wonderful. And one thing that Dr. Joanna Harper said in Skylar's podcast that I think is really important to state is there are going to be those of us who in discussing the minutia of where trans athletes exist on sort of the platform of athletics, there will be points that we maybe agree or disagree on in small sort of aspects. Mm-hmm. The most important thing is that we all need to agree to even have the discussion that transgender people are valid, their existence is important, and we are not here to debate that. Mm-hmm. If there are people who, for whom the debate about transgender athletes is really a debate about the validity of trans folk existing, there is no conversation to be had, right? Mm-hmm. That's just couched bigotry. And there's no, we don't need to talk about why they deserve to be here or whatever. We need to walk on by. But to the people who are confused or concerned or have questions, keep talking, but also listen more than you talk. Because there are people out there like Skylar, like Joanna Harper, like all these other experts who are talking about these things too. And sometimes they within their own circles are, well, maybe I think this, well, maybe I think this. But mm-hmm. the important thing is that they can disagree because at the root of it all, they care deeply about trans women. They care deeply about trans women having access to athletics. And really what they're doing is they're trying to figure out the parameters for how that can happen, not mm-hmm. figuring out parameters for how they can keep them out.
Right. Right.
So.
Awesome. Well, I'll tag all of their bits below. So anyone who wants Perfect. To go find them, that'll be easy to do. And thank you so, so much. This was awesome. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I hope I spoke well didn't step over my words.
Eloquent and perfect. No, thank you so fucking much.